Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, much appreciation to the fellas on Payne and Pendergast, of course, today, Sean Bajani and Seth Payne, and of course, appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for that opportunity to crosstalk with them fine fellas. But let's get going on a Tuesday. I'm not going to lie. I woke up today, and between waking up probably about 7 o'clock and this moment at 10 a.m., there's been at least three moments where I've thought that it's a day other than Tuesday. And not the same day either. Like, I thought it was Thursday for some reason.
Thursday?
I thought it was a Wednesday for some reason. Yeah. There was at one point where I thought it was a Monday, and I don't know what was happening in that moment. Like, I thought it was all sorts of days, but it is indeed a Tuesday here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Get involved with the program by texting in on the text line, 713-572-4610. Or also, you can get involved on the Mokarem Injury live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, Sports or 610 Houston. And I want to start, start by reminding you that OTAs, baby.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Final day of OTAs, ain't it? Right? Like you had, obviously, the 3 days last week, two of which were open. And then the 2 days this week, one of which today is open. Mm-hmm. I know I've already seen dispatches from our very own Brandon Scott out there, B. Scott out there, who will also be manning the helm of the drive today. So he's got a busy day. But, you know, you can catch B. Scott, Brandon K. Scott on Twitter, posted some things, including Derek Stingley returning one-handed, or rather fielding punts one-handed right now, doing things like that out there at NRG Park. But, yeah, we're going to get some information from that, and we'll hear from the head coach of the team, D'Amico Ryans, at 11 or thereabouts live. So excited to hear that. How you feeling today, man?
Man, I'm feeling great. Absolutely. Just as a reminder, you know, we have boots on the ground over there. We have access to information. So anything that's happening, there's a lot to watch. There's a lot to look out for over there at NRG. It's going to be a nice day. They're going to be out there. And as you mentioned, we'll have D'Amico and some players, joining us, or at least we'll be hearing from.
That's right. That's right. But I know we'll get D'Amico live on these Sports Radio 610 airways. So keep it locked with us all day, as you probably do already. You probably should do that anyways. But
I will say this.
Okay.
Just real quick before we get into some of the news that happened yesterday and is going to affect things here with the Texans. We didn't mention the question of the day. And we usually do that on the crosstalk, but we just kind of went straight into the show today.
Were you disappointed? It feels like you were disappointed.
A little bit.
Like you wanted Seth's
answer. Were you a little disappointed?
Seth would have been a good one because Seth, notoriously has dealt with anger issues.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
should we text him?
Well, that's a good idea. You can text him, or I will. And it has to do with that dip bleep overseas that was caught and confessed after Lance McCullers' family was threatened. He threatened to kill him, in fact.
It got more dangerous. He threatened to kill his family,
children,
including his 5-year-old daughter.
And so the question of the day is, what's the stupidest thing you've done in a fit of rage, perhaps a drunken fit of rage? So I want to throw that out there because a lot of people start thinking early as the question's at 10:40. And then I do want to throw this out there. I mentioned to you, and this is, I guess, what they call a vertical tease. You know, I mentioned this.
What, like on a pole?
Like vertically. a tease about my confession at 12:20. I would highly recommend people tune in then as well, because I'm already thinking about deleting it.
It's like that?
It's like that.
Okay, very good.
It's like that.
So speaking of rethinking things, mm-hmm. we got some news yesterday that it, indicated that this gentleman had a little bit of a change of heart of some degrees. Ronald Darby, a cornerback that previously played for the Eagles, played for the Jaguars. I mean, he was part of that Eagles team, not last year, but the you know, the last time that they went to the Super Bowl. This is a damn good experienced cornerback that the Texans signed that, for me personally, gave me a lot of confidence in the cornerback depth after a year where you had cornerback depth issues. That's one of the things that, you know, we've talked about. We know that the top end of cornerbacks is fantastic. All pro Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, in his rookie year, looking fantastic. But beyond that, you had the likes of Jeff Okuda, who you had in camp, who you anticipated being some level of helpful. And we saw numerous times, especially at the Cowboys game, that didn't work out the way that you wanted to. D'Angelo Ross stepped in at moments, and he was serviceable. But you were looking for maybe something that felt a little bit more consistent, a little bit more comfortable, especially in a league where injuries happen at any given time. You might have somebody that has to step in and carry the load, or just giving you a little versatility. And Ronald Darby was an opportunity, looked like just a great vet to step in, who brought you that kind of experience, that kind of know-how. And then all of a sudden yesterday, and I remember the time was like 2:07 p.m., we find out, per Adam Schefter, that Ronald Darby has actually decided to retire. In fact, he let the Texans know. He was a part of the three days of OTAs last week.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder, like, did he get out there at OTAs and be like, damn, I don't got it no more? And I was like, OTAs don't feel like the type of practicing that make you go, damn, I don't got it no
more.
Well,
That's right. There's a lot to dig in there. But our guy, Seth Payne, in a fit of rage, decided to hop in with the question of the day.
I heard that you guys needed me. I didn't know what it was for. Oh, because we didn't do the question of the day.
Right, that's exactly. Right. And I felt hurt by
it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
He did. So I saw it in his eyes.
It has something to do with the guy that admitted to the Lance McCullers thing. What's the stupidest thing you've ever done in a fit of rage, perhaps even a drunk fit of rage?
Oh, God.
I was like, I hope you don't feel mad, because we were like, yeah, you'd be a great answer.
Yeah, Seth would definitely have something on this.
There's too many. I don't know. That's a really good question. I think, honestly, I would say, okay, so when Josh Innes and I had that argument on Radio Row, I know a lot of people loved that I did that and everything, But the story that I think people outside of Houston didn't know or realize was that Josh had just been poking. Yes. And on Radio Row itself, the year before, Josh had kind of interfered with a couple of our broadcasts. And it got to a point where I could tell our program director at the time wasn't going to do a damn thing about it. So I'd had enough, and I was like, that's it. All right, well, that's it. And whatever happened. And I still feel justified in doing it. I think what did happen from that, though, is that there are a lot of people in the industry who don't know much about it, who think I'm this, like, loose cannon, wild card, whack job out of Houston.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can really do about that. Like, ideally, I don't feel bad that I did it, and Josh and I have talked and laughed about it since then. But, like, I would have handled it differently if in that moment.
Yeah, that's...
And then...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then the other time was the time that I threw a wad of cash at Mike Meltzer and made him call me unbearable 29 times in a row.
Nice.
Because I was upset with him about whatever we were arguing about. That was a big turning point for me. I didn't mind upsetting Josh, but I did mind upsetting Mike. And
that was a turning point for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I decided to change my ways after that.
And now look at you.
See, I knew, and those are two great examples. I knew you'd come through, but... yeah, we're gonna talk about that. Mine is very, very embarrassing because we'll get to it at 10:40.
Can I?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to hijack your segment.
No, that's fine.
Reginald, I have to ask you. I never thought about this before. Had you ever seen that clip before you came to Houston of me and Josh Innes going at it?
I actually hadn't.
Okay. Okay.
So
good. Don't go seek it out.
I've seen it at this point.
But
I will say it did not get me to the point where I thought those things about you.
Yeah. Am I sure I want to go to Houston?
The impressions that I have had of you to that point, and obviously since, are very much way more heavily than anything that video could have done.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. It sounds like you didn't think much of the video, though. It's like, well, I found out you're not the guy I assumed you were based on that video. So, yeah, no, okay.
The best part of the video is clearly John McClane, but of course, yeah. I digress.
Yes.
Thanks, Seth.
All right, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so let's get back to Ronald Darby, a cornerback that was looking like he was going to be a part of the Texans, signed with the Texans. I think it was like supposed to be $500,000, guaranteed or what have you within that contract. And after 3 days, OTA says, actually, I'm going to retire. I'm going to be completely honest, did not see like his full reasoning on that. But that struck me as, I guess you could easily look at that as, okay, backup cornerback, it's fine. You have a level of depth or what have you. One, I actually have a little bit of question about how strongly you feel about the depth that now remains with Ronald Darby now retiring. But maybe more importantly, like what the type of depth is, and maybe do you think that this is a place where the Texans need to make some level of like significant move? Because I know that you're going to need to add another cornerback. Like I think that's just generally the way that you do that, even if it's just another body to have within that room for camp or what have you. But how are you feeling about the depth at cornerback with Ronald Darby no longer fitting that slot of that third or that, you know, that primary fill-in kind of cornerback depth role?
See, I thought you brought up a really good point. The timing of it just doesn't seem to add up with someone, you know, deciding, yeah, the game's not in me. Maybe it does. But I think there's two options here. One of them would be somewhat alarming, somewhat of a thing that we have to monitor, and that is maybe that was it. Maybe he showed up at OTAs, the game spoke to him, as they often say, and he just says, you know what, it's not there anymore, I'm just going to retire. That's option A, and that's what quite possibly could be the case. But there's another option here that my mind went to anyway, and that is he got here. Keep in mind, this is a 10-year veteran.
Correct.
He's won a
31 years of age.
Yeah. He's won a national championship at Florida State and a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. And so he started, I believe, 12 games last year. So this is a serviceable at this point in his career, if not good, cornerback that can fit that role. The other option to me is maybe he got here, he looked around, he saw these guys playing, and I'm not even talking about Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley. You know, I'm talking about guys like Jalen Smith, who was drafted in the third round. Who knows about Tremont Smith and some of these other guys on the depth chart, which we are somewhat questioning as can they fill that role? He might have looked around and said, yeah, I'm going to be fighting for playing time on this team. So it might be a good thing. It might be a good thing when it comes to the Texans. You know, he's done all this. He's accomplished all this. It's always hard as you get into double digits as an NFL player. To dial it back up. And he may have sort of done the math in his head and said, do I really want to dial it up and not even really play to see my playing time diminish? So it's either the game spoke to him or the Texans are actually in a pretty good spot there, at least, you know, from what this guy's perspective might be.
I'm trying to make sure I'm divorcing myself from the hope that I tend to kind of inject in some of these things, being a Houstonian and wanting good things for these Houston teams. Which of those likelihoods, or which one of those do you think is more likely interpretations from your perspective on why Ronald Darby would
I think the odds fall with a guy getting here and saying, I really don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, if I'm just being honest, like I said, the game spoke to him. Like, you know, I don't have that energy. I don't have that feeling. I don't have the go get him. I don't want to cheat the game, you know, that kind of thing with Ronald Darby. But it did cross my mind. Maybe he's sitting there going, hey, when he comes to the Texans, he's sitting there going, I'm going to have some playing time. I'm going to be that third cornerback. Who knows, with injuries, I could get, you know, some good, the bonus money on his contract if there is any. I didn't even look, all that stuff. But instead, he's looking around going, man, I'm going to have to fight just to get on the field. I think that's a possibility.
So with that being the case, then, you have to look at what remains depth-wise at cornerback. Mm-hmm. Where you have, obviously, you mentioned Jalen Smith, your third-round pick, a cornerback who slides in. You have Tremont Smith, who was a free agent that came from Denver. He's, how-many-year veteran at this point? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year vet in Tremont Smith, but obviously not in the same way. of Ronald Darby. Like, not at least I think Ronald Darby, we can easily say, reached different heights in his career than Tremont Smith. And then, like, D'Angelo Ross remains, who, you know, again, when it came down to it, he was the guy that ultimately seemed to handle up to some degree when it came to, you know, playing cornerback. And yes, I see you, Brandon, on the YouTube page mentioning the idea, you know, Darby hasn't gotten an interception since 2019. The decline was absolutely there. Don't get me wrong.
But,
like, I'm not trying to say
again,
he's the same dude.
Serviceable enough.
Right. You know, and then, like, Callaghan, Kedrian Callaghan that you brought it or that you signed as a, I believe, an undrafted free agent or what have you. Like, these are kind of the guys that you have in the cornerback room. Where do you look at within this cornerback, or how do you then evaluate this? Because I think that was one of the big things that I liked, was not just having a cornerback that you feel like, okay, I feel comfortable with his experience and his knowledge, but then also like that mentorship. We've seen it in many a different times and many a different place. Having a veteran mentor in that room, bringing up, you know, raising all the boats, right? The high tide raising all boats of sorts with that kind of like experience and knowledge from the veteran situation. I mean, Tremont Smith does not feel like that same exact type of guy. How comfortable are you with the depth at a cornerback now?
Still not extremely comfortable. But again, that thought crossed my mind, and I was looking at Jalen Smith. The rookie third rounder, pretty high pick. That maybe is making some noise already. And again, maybe I'm biased because last year we had rookies making some noise during OTAs. A rookie named Kamar Lassiter that ended up starting, and we weren't even sure what he was. At this point last year, we didn't know where Kamari Lassiter was even going to play. Not cornerback, nickel, you know, who knows. And then he kind of established himself. So I'm thinking maybe that's the case. All that being said, though, Reggie, I could sure use another cornerback on this roster. I could sure use another, if nothing else, for that veteran presence.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I've looked at. I mean, yes, this team seems to have done really well in playing young guys early, as you talked about, evidences last year. I'm still, and I guess I feel better about having Jalen Smith. I know that the size is one of those kind of concerns for him. And so, like, that ends up being kind of interesting, seeing if he would have to play on the outside. What that would look like, but he has the speed that you imagine to contend to some degree. But yeah, like that level of just throwing a dude in there. Do you have that experience? Because I do feel like he has at least the talent. Because that's one of the things that felt like depth wise you didn't have nearly as much as just the pure talent. But then the ability to also step in and handle the responsibility outside of the talent, like the actual production, the productivity that's necessary when you play cornerback, especially with the high responsibility of this defense. The secondary is supposed to be really, really good. And when you have a secondary of this caliber, a sore thumb sticks out really, really, really obviously, where any play, because typically there's not a crack in the armor. There's not a place that you can attack really on the secondary until if you put somebody in. So, like, I think that Jalen Smith is now very much a dude that I'm watching very closely to see how quickly he can get up to speed, because he may have to be of some level of impact for you, unless you're going to free agency and trying to find one of these guys that remains out here on the table, right? Yeah.
But it does ramp up, if nothing else, the pressure or the eyes on Jalen Smith and the other cornerbacks that are here, because knowing the Texans, as much as it might be, they feel good about these guys, and Darby saw the writing on the wall and all that. You still need another one. You still need another defensive back, cornerback in that role.
Would you be interested in maybe going and finding one of these guys that is just kind of out here and seeing if you could kind of just throw something out there, bring in a body, have him play like somebody like a who is out
here? Are you looking at some guys right now?
Someone like Stephon Gilmore is one of those guys that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you keep looking at him and you go, is he done? But like when it comes to mentorship, right, like he ends up being really interesting, although I think he might have signed. He might have signed this offseason, but like one of these kind of guys that's out here as a free agent, I'd be interested to see if them bringing in a guy of similar veteran kind of caliber to stash in here, to see if he can
know
play
the role,
and if you had that role to be able to mentor the likes of Jalen Smith.
Necessarily expect to get that front line time with the cornerbacks, but at least know the role and find a niche, you know, with this roster.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I was a little disappointed to see Ronald Darby walk away, but I mean, if he has that feeling, right? If that is what it is, I think it's much better that that's the situation. Mm-hmm. And I would still say I still feel better about this year's depth than last year's depth, even understanding that that is relative, and I'd still want it to be a little bit stronger in this circumstance. But we're getting going on a Tuesday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. DJ Bienemy tweeting out from OTA, is the final day of them. CJ Stroud not throwing at OTAs as he continues to nurse that minor shoulder injury. So that's an important update. Or maybe it isn't an important update if you
feel. He can knock down those threes, though.
He can. I do love this. Yesterday, somebody was like, my conspiracy theory is that he's actually throwing on the days that the media isn't there and just not throwing on the days where the media is there, which would be really
then they're just
hilarious.
Toying with people.
Yeah. That's exactly what that
I kind of wish D'Amico or somebody say, oh, yeah, he was throwing yesterday. Yeah, we just giving them a rest today when y'all here.
That would, like, even as a joke, that would probably work. That'd probably go over in that instance. But yeah, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I guess if we're going to talk about injuries, let's talk about the Astros, might as well. But there's something about the Astros injury that probably needs to be discussed, and it actually doesn't have to do with the medical staff or like the disclosing of information or anything like that. We'll tell you what that is next.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. You're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. Having a good time. OTAs happening, and it's a public one, so we're getting video. We're getting feedback from the various people who are out there covering the team. One of the early things that we know already, CJ Stroud also not throwing again today. Handoffs. And, of course, Aaron Wilson reiterating that minor shoulder muscle tightness that they're managing for him. So that is one of the things that's happening out there. We'll let you know what we see come through, as well as we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans at 11 right here on these airways. But right now I wanted to throw this up here, Lopez, because we talked about kind of like just the real problems that the Astros have, clearly, with the way that they manage injuries and maybe possibly even the medical staff itself, as evidenced by the latest of, the problems like the Kyle Tucker situation part two that happened with Yordan Alvarez, yeah. finding out that it's not just discomfort in his left hand. It is indeed a fracture that will keep him away from baseball for a little bit longer as well. And you found kind of an interesting portion of this in that there's something that needs to be discussed here outside of just those things that we've talked about, the medical staff, how the Astros go about information surrounding injuries and the injuries themselves.
Yeah, we know that you can't trust the Astros when it comes to injuries. That doesn't even feel like an opinion anymore.
No, at this point, there's an overwhelming yeah. amount of evidence. Yeah. There is, as I would like to say, an orgy of evidence that mm-hmm. points to the idea that they should not be trusted.
Yeah, so we know that. And so what they're saying about some of these guys that are injured, including Yordan Alvarez, when you start looking at when they say, and again, emphasis on say, they could be back, then you start to realize something that's kind of important for this team, depending on how they stand in the standings and otherwise, going into July, mid-July. Because let me just go through it for you real quick. And I stumbled across this, and I'm like, okay, well, that's going to make for an interesting decision or confidence level or whatever you want to call. So Yordan's injury return is TBD.
Correct.
According to the Astros. TBD can mean probably no less than a week, but...
Oh, absolutely no less. I mean, we're talking about a fracture
yeah,
here.
But up to the rest of the season. Nobody can disagree with that, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, that's fair. Luis Garcia, you know he's out there.
Been out there. In fact, he had a setback. He was supposed to be back by this time.
Yeah.
We should have already seen Luis Garcia, but there was
a
setback.
Well, there you go. There right. you go. And so now they're saying maybe mid-July.
Okay.
All right?
Penciling that in. Mid-July.
Mid-July TBD so far. Spencer Arrighetti. Again, their words, as much as you can believe them, mid-July. There's another mid-July right there. Christian Javier. Mid-season is the word that they use. Mid-season tends to be round about July, doesn't it?
Yep.
That's not even counting guys that are done for the year, of course, but that's not even counting guys like Chaz McCormick. We don't know. Is it an abductor strain? It's some sort of strain that he has. And we don't know when he's going to be back. Do you notice a trend here that maybe these guys kind of, sort of, if you believe the Astros and go down that road again, we're talking mid-July. When's the trade deadline?
July 31st.
So if these guys, and Yordan included, are coming back mid-July and the trade deadline is July 31st, do you trust the Astros to bring these guys back and for these guys to perform at a level that can keep this team moving forward up the standings or into the postseason or wherever it may be? And on top of that, that they're going to play well.
Yeah, I think that's the part that really gets me. And just to be clear, the Chaz McCormick left oblique strain is what
oblique.
It was.
That's
so
right,
that is, and we're talking about soft tissue in that mm-hmm. instance, which I mean, make of that what you will. However, he's on the 10-day IL mm-hmm. for whatever that's worth. Obviously, that could be transferred at some point and make it longer. But, I mean, that was a 10-day IL retroactive to May 30th. So, within the next week or two, you should see Chaz McCormick back playing baseball, right? I think that is reasonable, at least with what we've seen.
Just like Yordan.
Although.
Just like Yordan was.
What is reasonable anyways, right? What is reasonable anymore when it comes to Astros and injuries? But
So go ahead.
Back to what you're saying here is, I think the idea of them staying attached or what mm-hmm. have you in the AL West, particularly because that's what that's what we're looking at. Obviously, you could talk about the AL wild card as well, but I haven't even been looking at that because the Astros have remained or mm-hmm. have gotten themselves to a place where they're within a game of the top of the division. They're playing with that level of ferocity. I think that I feel comfortable that this team is just going to find a way to make something shake. It feels mm-hmm. like that's the type of team this team is this year. Just find a way to make some shake. If it's the bullpen in this instance, if it's just enough runs in this instance, if it's Luis Garcia, if it's Framber Valdez coming out here and giving you a monster of one, right? We'll find a way to get done what we need to get done to get us to that space. The thing that I'm really intrigued by is mm-hmm. when these guys return, and you have gotten some guys that have returned, like Lance McCullers, who has returned and been pretty damn good for mm-hmm. what you could reasonably expect for a guy being out that long and coming back in the middle of the season or what have you. But are you going to have guys that come back and within the span of a week or two are good enough for you to know that they're going to be able to carry you, especially if you stay attached, not just through the remainder of the season, but then help you in what you would hope is a run deep into the playoffs? Otherwise, what are we doing all this for?
Right.
how long is a week or two to make that, make those decisions on whether you do that or not? And maybe actually the decision is made easier by the fact that if you get to that point and you know, the deciding factor is, well, we need to go acquire somebody, the question then pops up, with who or what?
How?
Yes.
How?
Or how? The different one of those question words.
Yeah.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you do that? So that's where I'm like, okay, if you start adding up all this stuff, we're looking at mid-July. You got 2 weeks, as you said, to make a decision. And I don't think anybody could say you can honestly make a decision on if you're in the race, you're going to have to make a decision. Then how do you do that? And here's the other aspect of this that sort of is in the background. You know, middle relief all of a sudden looks a little shaky.
Correct.
Looks a lot shaky, like if you're just looking at the most recent week or so. The back end, great. And what are you going to send? What are you going to do? Let's say you're still within a game, two games, or maybe even leading, you know, when these guys ostensibly come back. Do you trust them or do you make a move? And how do you make that move?
Yeah, the pen is the interesting thing, because I guess the thought process is when it comes to trade deadline or making trades, relief pitching is probably the most accessible of things to acquire at the deadline. But even still, right, you have to give something up, and it has to be something that ultimately ends up being worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if you do get fortunate enough, and of course now I'm talking about good luck and all these types of things, which is not a plan, but if you do get fortunate enough where you actually get some of these starters back, you know, playing well, mm-hmm. middle relief is something that you can cobble together with guys that have kind of been like starters, right? The thing that we've talked about with the Colton Gordons and the Ryan Gustos of the world is that they could be solid, but maybe for like four mm-hmm. or five. But like the idea of giving you six and getting you to the place where you feel good about the back end of your pen is a little tight. Well, that profiles like somebody. In fact, Ryan Gusto has done that this year of being a long reliever, right, mm-hmm. when you need it. I think that would be the optimal situation. It's just, can you trust the injuries to clear up in the right time to push everything in the right situation?
Yeah,
in the right spot?
Like the 346 said, mid-July, full health, sounds good to me. And then he put the obligatory LOL.
Right. That's the, man, yeah, the trade deadline is going to be interesting because, mm-hmm. again, I think you have to be, you can participate. I think we're getting to this place where I'm trying to Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stop myself from being like, well, you can't go to the store at all. You can probably go to the store, but you got to be real deliberate, right? Yeah. It's when you go in with the budget, it's like, hey, we can have one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Have you ever been to the store with your mom?
You
and
can
they're
have
like,
one piece of candy.
You can get one thing, right?
one piece of candy.
Not three, not a variety bag. You get one thing.
I got to tell my wife that every time we go to Walmart.
And so
don't get no cart. One thing. We come in and get one thing. That's it.
And I feel
don't
like,
go to Costco.
with what you're setting up here, what they've had set up for them here, the trade deadline will be really interesting, and you're really going to need to have answers quickly on guys returning. First and foremost, you're going to have guys return on schedule or ahead of schedule, and then you're going to have to get very quick readings of what they are doing in order for you to focus in on what I imagine is a very limited ability to acquire at that time.
And with the taxing of the bullpen and some uneven performances, I mean, what are the odds you're even going to get like all these guys back? Like mid-July, I just mentioned it. Yordan, Luis Garcia, Spencer Getty, Christian Javier, Chaz McCormick, we probably figure he'll be back. What are the odds of getting all those guys back?
I don't know if I can actually place odds on it, but I can't imagine that's like a super high percentage.
Mm-hmm. I ain't placing no odds with this team.
No.
And then I guess
fool me 17 times,
yeah,
shame on me.
Yeah, nah.
The quieter part of that is as well is if they come back, who else gets injured? Because that, like, we can't assume that everybody else is just going to stay healthy, and then you add these guys back and everything rolls. Like that is such an interesting, like the aggression or the attrition that the Astros are going to have to traverse through this.
Yeah.
They've already traversed a decent amount of attrition. You have to give them credit, but that's the thing that's a little I had not considered enough of, and I'm glad you brought it up. Is it's still going to be a tough road to hoe for this Astros team, even as they've answered a lot of the questions. A lot more questions still arise, including in the next, I don't know, month or so, as they head towards the trade deadline. But as of right now, like your next series is a 2-game set against the Pirates.
Might as well be the Steelers.
The way that their offense is. I do feel good about that. Paul Skeens going today opposite Lance McCullers Jr. And give us a good one, Lance. Like, mm-hmm. again, just to be nice to the pen. To the pen. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, speaking of Lance McCullers, thankfully we have a little bit of information on the dummy who did a really, really terrible thing, if we're going to be honest, in threatening, sending death threats to Lance McCullers Jr. and his family. But in honor, and maybe honor isn't the right word, but with that, what is the stupidest thing that you've done in a fit of rage? That's our question of the day. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next. Yeah, we're about to go get into our question of the day here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Couple of things. Christian Kirk and Dalton Schultz are practicing at OTAs while Damian Pierce still sidelined. We mentioned earlier CJ Stroud at OTAs handing the ball off to running backs. He's been seen doing that. Will not throw, or at least has not thrown to this point. I don't know if they're saving it as an Easter egg later on in the, I don't know. That would be hilarious just at one point in the OTA, just all out of nowhere, just throws the ball and everybody, oh!
Hey, he threw it.
He threw it. He threw a football. OTAs, it's very silly.
Now, do we got to throw it good? When if it like fall flat or something like
that? Oh, that would make it even worse.
That's
you're right.
A whole nother thought.
Little wounded duck going out there like, oh, Lord.
They done broke CJ.
Got that noodle arm or something?
They broke CJ. Okay,
out there throwing passes like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I had not.
Oh, man.
There's been like kind of a counter discussion now of, man, y'all talking, like people are talking too much or making too much of the CJ not throwing thing. And I understand that to some degree because, look, we could do that with anything at OTA. It's just like, hey, we are talking too much about it because how much would you like stock would you like to put in any of this? However, like the little things are the things that we have. So we're going to kind of like eat them up to some degree. Mm-hmm. But yes, that would be a whole nother level of the little things. Like he threw the ball, but I saw it wobble. What do we do with that? All right. Question of the day. We got a little bit of information. Well, first and foremost, let me give you the question of the day, which is what is the stupidest thing that you have done in a fit of rage? And it is inspired by the dude who did something really, really dumb. When Lance McCullers had, you know, he had a rough start. It was his second start back from, you know, a long, long-term injury, series of injuries not allowing him to return since the 2022 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bad outing, right? Like pitchers, it happens with pitchers, especially when you consider Lance McCullers Jr., again, hadn't pitched in a long time, was trying to find out various things, like figure out what his arsenal is now, like how to actually get the production that he wants or what have you. And some moron got on social media, apparently drunkenly, due to bets that he had made.
He was in Europe.
Yes, in Europe. Got drunk, got up on the social media, and sent threats to Lance McCullers Jr. and his family and threatened his five-year-old daughter. And obviously that very much upset Lance, upset the Astros. They notified HPD. There was all sorts of investigations done, and that led us to finding out that this dude did this. But, I mean, he's like, you know, this is a mistake that was done in a fit of, drunken rage for losing money.
Now, was he an Astros fan or just somebody just stayed?
He was a gambler.
Okay, so it was just somebody that stayed overseas.
It could have been an Astros fan, could have just been a degenerate gambler, to the point that the threats, this is what needs to be remembered as well. The threats were serious enough, at least in the police and the Astros' eyes. Jim Crane put a security team, you know, with McCullers and his family. So it wasn't just like, you know, this bum or whatever. No, it was a serious thing. At least it felt that way. And now he's saying he was drunk, he was mad, he had, you know, it was based on gambling, et cetera.
I kind of feel better that it wasn't like a regular Astros fans and like a fan in Houston that was kind of on social media, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be somebody that's not even a fan of the team. You don't want that stench on, you know, Astros fans.
And he did apologize and mentioned to the authorities that if they could please pass that apology on to Lance McCullers. But nevertheless...
That's one of those instances where the apology really just doesn't hit hard enough.
You think Lance is like, all right, I'll accept your apology. Yeah, we all good, buddy.
Yeah. So be honest now, you know, and I'm going to be very honest, and it's still kind of one of those things that I think about occasionally about how differently it could have gone and how bad it was that I did this. Things you've done in a fit of rage, a drunken fit of rage. I got in a fight with a girl.
Oh, man.
I hope you mean a fight of words.
An argument.
Okay.
It's been real for the OG, man. It's been real.
I got in an argument.
Let's start boycotting that OG sauce now.
With a girl. To the point she slapped me like hard in the face, you know, in her apartment, like three times, like whack, whack, whack. And I was just like I was boiling over. So I just stormed outside and I started walking to my trailer where we stayed. This was in college. And I was, you know, I'd been drinking or whatever. And I started walking. The trailer was about 3 miles away. I think I walked for about 10 or 12 miles. I had no idea where I was going.
And this is the thing. You were walking in a fit of rage, so it wasn't like I am walking with the thought process of I'm going to get back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You were just walking. I imagine that was 10 or 12 miles straight, and then you got to a place where you had cooled down, and then it was like, how are we getting back?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that is the tough part about that moment. Like, because you don't know how many miles you need to cool off, but if you did ahead of time, you would split that in half and walk there and then back.
You know
what I mean? That is rough.
I didn't have a phone or anything. I just started kind of meandering back. I must have walked 15, 20 miles that night. Like, it was because it was daylight by the time I got back.
Goodness gracious. That's not the worst. Like, I imagine you.
But I'm saying all being drunk and wandering and,
Your legs, your elbow, your knees probably didn't thank you for it afterwards. But that's probably a relatively healthy. Hey, we just gonna walk this thing off. I think for me, like, the stupidest thing I've done in a fit of rage. I tend to not like succumb to anger too frequently, and I don't say that as like I'm better than anyone. Yeah. I'm just like, I know myself.
Yeah.
There are other things where I have issues, right? But it usually is like the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the more funny of the versions of this is when I was younger, really young, where like I guess I was hungry as a kid, and my mom tells a story where, you know, my mom and one of her like really good girlfriends, right,
were hanging out.
And, you know, for the purpose of the story, she's a little bit larger, her friend. And so I guess I was hungry. I was like, whatever. And I was like, that's why you fat or something like that. You know, just the type of things the kids say. And it still brings me shame to this day because, like, why would you do that?
That's why you're fat.
Like, exactly. Like, you know, be like, you're eating up all the snacks, right? Like, you can't do that. That's unnecessary. But, like, in a more serious circumstance, it's like the things that you typically hold back, in a attempt to be kind to someone, like, you know, not every thought needs to escape your brain, escape your mouth, what have you. And I vividly remember, I remember the feeling, but not the words. But I remember doing it to my mom once where it's like, bleep it, you getting this. And I said it. And like, to this day, I really wish I could bring it. And that's the thing. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It was so much. Oh, yeah. I don't remember what I said, but I just remember the way that it made her feel, the way that I didn't want to call her and she didn't call, because I talk to my mom frequently. I'm willing to say that, right? I talk to her at least like twice a week. We didn't talk for like a couple of weeks behind it. Like, I ain't call her, she ain't call me. And I was like, dude, I felt so bad just because in that moment, rather than just find a better way to say this, hold on. I was like, no, I'm going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so yeah, that and that's the thing is what kills me is I don't even remember what the words were that I
said. Yeah.
That's how mad
what
I
happened.
Was.
Yeah, mine is kind of similar to Lopez a little bit. It had to do with walking.
Mm-hmm.
So this was around the time I didn't have a car. I was going through some car trouble and had to get rid of my car. And mind you, I was the guy that would give anybody a ride, no matter whatever they need, give them a ride.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting that same courtesy from certain people, including my mother. So my mother would charge me for gas money like every single trip.
What?
Yeah, I'm just
yo.
And one time I just got pissed off. I was working a night job at the time at a group home. And I was just like, I kind of went off with my mother. I'm like, screw it, I'll walk. I'm going to just start walking to work then. Like, I ain't about to keep begging everybody and everybody giving me the cold shoulder and being fake.
Yeah.
And mind you, this walk is, I just looked it up just now just to see how many miles it was. It's about 7 miles. 7 miles to work.
Did you?
I did for like 3 days.
And then you came to your senses.
That third day, I'm just like, all right, man, something got to shake, man. Because I'm sick. Because at first, I'm like, man, I'll walk. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Second day, I'm just like, all right, man, do I need to get a bike or something? Like, I ain't know what was going on.
Third day, you were third like, day. I need to be a bigger person.
Yeah.
I need to be a bigger person. Yeah. I need to apologize.
Yeah, yeah, I end up working some things out. And it actually made me get a car even faster now.
You reminded me of one. Do y'all ever, like, punch something and then go, well, that really hurt?
Nope.
I've done that once.
I never did that.
I am truly blessed that I have not done that. And I'm not going to lie. I do judge the people that do that. On the text
line. I've done
line.
It once, and I can't remember exactly what there is. And I was like, well, that's not smart.
No, it is not. It rarely ever is. From the 832, bust a hole in the wall. Too embarrassed to go into details. That's fine. By the way, it is indeed men's Mental Health Awareness Month.
There you go.
That is worth saying. Somebody said, Lopez, that is on my no-fly list. I guess getting the hit or what have you. Somebody said they broke their PlayStation. That was something I never did. Like, because I knew, like, mom made it very clear. Look, you break this, you're not getting another one.
I did that. I used to do that with the controllers. Every time I get pissed, I throw the controller.
No,
I used to squeeze the controller hard as I can. Man, my controllers was all screwed up, man.
Closest that I'd get to that, if I wanted to be mad, I would throw the controller at the couch. Because it's like, hey, at least it's a soft landing. But we were not breaking it. Somebody said, I was an idiot, but I swung a hand at my dad. Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
That's the top tier. And what's best is that everybody does it. Like, everybody has at least, or maybe not everybody, but damn near everybody has at least one moment where they go, try they pops.
I waved my mother off one time. She was walking behind me, and I did one of them strong waves. Yeah. They be doing that to referees.
Like, shut up. Yeah.
You know, in the NBA, they be waving the ref. Yeah. I did that. Man, she was right in my face right after that, man. Like, don't you wave me off.
All right, man, now they're coming in. We'll circle back around to some of these. Somebody said, I live in Humble. About 15 years ago, I went to get together in NASA, had a little too much to drink on the way home, got into an argument with my wife, had her get off the freeway, jumped out the truck, told her to go home. I would walk the rest of the way. No, nobody.
Yeah. We all been there.
Why are we all out here walking? Why is this the way that we handle the anger?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, very much. Let's try and handle our anger better, especially if you're sports betting, because the one thing you definitely don't be threatening people out here. That is one thing that we always want to advocate not to do. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL. However, we're supposed to hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, DeMeco Ryans, on day 5, I guess, of OTAs. We'll do all of that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.